24 years ago, had a brother present me with the idea that, and for those of you that's heard this, let's remember this 25th time we've met, or different people have met. But Brother Kent, well, we were sitting in his house. He was one of those, what you doing? Nothing, come on over. And we'd go drink coffee. But he had this idea that a bunch of people would get together in Hardy, Arkansas. And have a meeting. We had people from Texas. We had people from Tennessee. Quite a few from Georgia. What have I left out in? Oh, at
the northern states.
Oh, Indiana and Illinois. Sorry, Ronnie. But between those states, we had quite a few people. And it's a long ways from Douglasville, Georgia to Hardy, Arkansas, like it is from Ohio down to here. But we got together with the idea that if nothing else happened, we'd just have a good vacation together. Kent took me out and he was going to show me how to fish. Takes my line. And for those of you that know it's me, Kent, you know, cast it out, artificial lure, whipped on a lake in Cherokee Village, snag it, lose the lure. A few days later, it was the same line. But we had a wonderful time. You know, sent kids that have grown up. But it's all about unity. You know, us being as one in Christ. So we're glad that everyone has taken time to come down. We've got some good topics, some good speakers. Andy came up with the idea of the optimistic Christian as our theme this year. And it is about optimism. You see people all the time who are pessimistic, who are so negative that sometimes you don't even want to be around. So it is about, as Christians, we need to be optimistic. And should be. Because we've got something better ahead for us. So our topic this morning will start with the idea of unity. David wrote in Psalms 133:1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Christ in John 17, verses 9 through about 21 or 24, "I pray for them, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep your name, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you that these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." But when we look at verse 11, he talks there about us being as one. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but they should but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be as one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I'm going to stop there because we get the idea. As Christ prayed for unity, he prayed that all of his people would be one as Christ and the Father were one. Picked up a little cartoon, and this is about the idea of unity. It could be anybody. It could be two Church of Christ groups. How about Catholics and Anglicans reunite? Sure, as soon as they can come around to our way of thinking. That's going to take me to, well, to this. Our definition is oneness, harmony, and agreement. Acts 2 and 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Day of Pentecost, one accord, one place. Acts 4 and 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that they that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Again, agreement, oneness, harmony. Sort of built a timeline. Brother Harry helped me with the idea. It's him and I think Brother Cecil went out west. Brother Cecil Abercrombie, 1947, 1948, 1952, and 1954. He met with Brother Yarborough in a group in 1986. And that helped bring the Brotherhood closer together. Then in 1992, a bunch of people got together at Pine Eagle, and that included us and Brother Kent Dickinson. And we worked out the ideas of what it would take to work together in unity. Again, it is about us being one in Christ. Think about, you add the group that includes Brother Garber, that's a lot of people. You start adding the few churches that we worked through, or worked with, and that adds some more people. Here's an idea of what took place in 1988. And Ronnie can sort of remember our thinking back then, and the thinking of a lot of our preachers in Georgia and Indiana and some of these other places. We thought that there were very few churches going to heaven. That's what we had been taught. Well, they do things just a little bit different, so we can't fellowship them. So you're looking at churches, a couple of churches in Illinois, about three in Indiana, a couple in Tennessee, two or three in Georgia, and then Canyon, Texas. That's where we were then. We also had Windy Mission that we worked with over in Africa. We worked with Brother E.C. Severe, who happened to be with us 25 years ago at our first meeting. Where are we today? Look at all these churches. And I didn't try to go through the Harvester website to see about how many. Brother Harry, do you have a clue about how many?
All total, roughly.
All total, about 100, rather than about the 10 or 12 that we worked with before. We've also got Mexico. Down below Mexico, we've got Belize. We've got Tanzania. We've got Malawi, where I think Ronnie taught, like, over in that area, there's approximately 250 churches. You've got Mozambique. There's also a church in England. And before also in Malta, there's a church. So think about, if you plan a vacation and you need it to go somewhere, Orlando, Florida, one of the top destination sites in the country for vacations. Everybody wants to go to Disney World. Panama City. But churches all around. But that is where we're at today. Today we've got all these churches. We've got Mozambique, Tanzania, and Malawi. We've also got the Philippines. So think about being in unity with the Lord's church, with all these people, all these brothers and sisters in Christ. And Brother Harry gave me a thing over the weekend. And it's a wonderful flyer, and I borrowed a little from it. Because we think about unity, we have to think about God's family. In the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. And when they get down to making man, let us make man in our image. And God had a plan to have a family. Yeah. Here God is in heaven. He wanted a larger family than what he had. So we look at Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Galatians 3 and 15. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should be made, that it should make it the promise of no effect. Galatians 4 and 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So, as we dwell in unity, we are dwelling as the adopted sons of God. Daniel 10:44, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Matthew 16 and 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We talk about family. We talk about the kingdom. We talk about the church. We talk about being one in Christ. Another little clip art that I found: one God, one Lord, one church. And this church should be dwelling together in unity. There's no reason that we shouldn't be able to go and visit brothers and sisters in Christ and dwell in unity. But it goes back to that earlier cartoon, a sort of hard-headedness. People not want to work together. It's my way or the highway. We're to walk by the same rule, Philippians 3 and 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Yeah, the Bible's simple. You read it, you study it, and you rightly divide it. And if you've got a question, you go to Brother Harry. I sort of say that in jest, but he is a great source of information. A lot of these guys are great sources of information. For things that you want to know. And if I remember it after a while, Brother Harry, I've got a question I want to ask him. It's something that just popped in my head. And I'll go ahead and put the question out. We know that, I guess, the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Were they physically baptized with water, and who did it? That's something I've never thought about. And it seems like maybe a silly question, but we know Christ was baptized by John the Baptist. Anyway, he says, brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. We walk by the same rule, we speak the same thing. We have the same ideas, whether it is the cup, whether it is divorce and remarriage, whatever. We should all be walking by the same rule. And he says, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and then the same judgment. Romans 14 and 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Follow after things that make for peace. Think about all these brethren that's got together over the years with differences on how they taught things, but they got together to make peace. And therefore we can edify one another, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think one of my favorite times of the year, not just because I get away from school, but because of all the stuff that's going on, is summer. Because almost every week in the summer, you come down to Randolph County and there's a meeting. And you come down and you hear Brother Wilbur Bass, or you hear Alan Daniel, or you hear just a variety of other people who come in, and you have this time for edification. And that is because we walk a like-minded way. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Think about this idea of publishing peace, the idea that we can all come together, the idea that we can be like-minded and build friendships that can last a lifetime. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Romans 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I would have hated to have been part of that little 12 or 13 churches that we worked together with 25 years ago or 24 years ago, and have to stand before God and Him ask me why I wouldn't work with these other brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to love one another. It's not for us to judge one another. We all are different. There's several teachers in here. We don't see two kids that's just alike. We can have twins and then be total opposites. They can be pretty close alike. All of us are different. We're all going to make mistakes, but we're all different. So let's go with that idea, and he tells us to be like-minded, but he also tells us not to judge one another. It's not my job to judge, and I'm glad. Okay, Matthew 12:25. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln, back around the time of the Civil War, made the statement that a house divided against itself could not stand. Matthew 12:25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If the church is divided, then how's it going to stand? Now, think all the positive things that have happened since everybody started meeting and working out differences from Brother Harry and Brother Cecil going out west in the early late 40s and early 50s, to meeting with Brother Garber and a group of people in Arizona and that area, to us getting together at Mont Eagle. The fellowship has been, you know, wrecked. It sort of makes your day when you see all the people that we work with. And I'm going to skip the 10th verse because I've read it. But let's look at that, though. He says that there be no divisions among you, for it's been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. As Christ divided, was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Christ is not divided. So there should be no contentions. To be perfectly joined together and in the same mind and judgment, our thoughts, words, actions must be guided by the Word of God. How can we be divided if we're following Christ? Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 14-17, but as for you, continue in these things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom ye have learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Think about the admonition to Timothy, and let's think about that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And we use the word rocket scientist. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand something. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, because a lot of them couldn't understand the Bible. Because they wouldn't take time to delve into it. That we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or to every good work. In conclusion, finally, brethren, 2 Corinthians 13:11, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. A positive Christian, an optimistic Christian, would look at being perfect, being of good comfort. Think about the hope that we have in Christ. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. 1 Peter 3:8, finally be ye of all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Philippians 1:27, my prayer to God is that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. So as we think about unity, it is about us being of one mind. It is about us working together. It's about somebody. It doesn't matter which congregation, if they call us and they have a need of some kind, we help take care of. If there's people that we've called on, we need them, they're there. And that's what being in unity is. It's being there one for another. Galatians 6:2, we're told to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, us working together. A couple more little pictures. We are in one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. brothers and sisters in Christ, we are one in the Spirit. We're one in the Lord. We're all part of one big family. The family that God has chosen. Remember how God chose Abraham, and from the seed of Abraham, the Jews to be His chosen people? And remember how the Jews rejected Christ? And the Great Commission was to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the idea that both Jews and Gentiles might have hope. I think it's Romans 1:16, where Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." God's family. God's family working together. And today we meet as God's family. And one last thing, we are one in Christ. We are united. And that is my message. And I know that I'm about 7 minutes, right? Are there any comments or...